You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again, 'cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. It is Wednesday again. David, it happens
sure
like that.
We get them once a week.
We get them once a week. The question is, for a Wednesday Live program, we just want to make sure we're all alive.
Yeah.
Not just physically, but spiritually this morning, right?
So amen.
Welcome to all of our family that's joining us today, and we're so glad that you have set your dial to 89.9. Keep it set right there. We do have an exciting morning that's coming up. And I have a guest that is already on the line, ready to come and share with us. As many of you know, we have in our nation what's called a National Day of Prayer. And I want to bring Chris Fogle on, and we're going to share a little bit about what's coming up, because the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is an organization that supports and actually sponsors this hour. And so Chris Fogle is the executive director, a dear friend, a mighty man of God, pastor. Are you retired yet as a CPA, or do you still have to give a little counsel, Chris?
Well, I'm retired as a CPA for almost 4 years, but
okay.
Now my counsel is free.
It's free. Well, we won't tell anyone that your counsel is free now, because there may be a lot of people out there looking for counsel. But, Chris, welcome to WCNO. Thank you so much for being a partner with us and steering the leadership of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. You do a tremendous job. And we have a lot that's coming up as we move along through this year, but we have an upcoming event soon that I know you're going to want to talk about. Tell us about what's going to happen with the National Day of Prayer right here in the Treasure Coast.
Well, first off, I want everyone to mark their calendar for Thursday, May 7th. The National Day of Prayer was instituted under President Reagan, and it is observed on the first Thursday of May every year. So traditionally, the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance will host the National Day of Prayer at the Mid-Florida Civic Center in Port St. Lucie. It's a great evening, and I encourage everybody to come out. There'll be praise and worship. There'll be many different intercessors of prayer. In fact, one of our intercessors is a sheriff. And so the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance embodies bringing the body of Christ together, not just pastors, but business leaders, civic leaders. And when we have this National Day of Prayer, it's an opportunity for all of us to come together in a public place and worship. And I think that's what sets this apart, is that this is not done in any particular church or denomination. God is open to hear our voices, and it's a chance for us all to gather together as brothers and sisters of Christ in unity. And so we encourage people from every church, and last year we've had them from as far south as Boca Raton come up for this. And so we encourage anyone in the listening audience to come that evening on May 7th at 6 o'clock p.m. At the Mid-Florida Civic Center in Port St. Lucie for the National Day of Prayer. I am excited about the people that will be the intercessors. We are represented by public figures, youth, pastors, and it's just a great night where we can go before God and pray over our nation and our state, our communities, our families. Everything that we want God to hear is an opportunity to come publicly and pray. And, you know, it says in the Epistle of James that the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Mm-hmm. And the people in this radio station can all attest that prayer does avail much. Mm-hmm. And I am encouraging people to come out and just show the unity of the body of Christ. So I'm excited. Every year it's special. We also have coming this year up from Miami, Joaquin Molina, a very renowned pastor, author, has been involved with the Family Research Council. He will be speaking to us that night. So it's going to be a powerful evening.
So the event starts at 6 p.m. And we, as you mentioned, there's going to be many leaders from the region that's going to be coming in to pray. And I know a lot of times I look forward to seeing a combination of church leadership, business leadership throughout the community, and political leadership that come out and seek God on behalf of our nation. And it's a tremendous evening. And one thing perhaps we should mention, again, it is at the Mid-Florida Event Center. So it's in a large public place. There is security. There's great parking. It is air-conditioned. And we're doing this in the evening. This is an evening event, and your entire family is encouraged to come. Bring your children. Bring your babies. Bring your teenagers. Teenagers, bring your parents, you know, if you're listening today. But come and expect to be a participant. I know, Chris, being a part of the Alliance, the emphasis is on we're not coming to say prayers. We're coming to pray from our heart and cry out to God. And this is an important time, tremendous time. So Joaquin Molina, we know him. He has been up in our area before, and he is going to be delivering a bit of a message that to us that evening. What more can you tell us about Joaquin?
Well, you know, his background is really interesting. His father was a surgeon in Miami, and Joaquin himself was an attorney. And he had a calling from the Lord, and in his legal background, he moved into ministry, and he has built a powerful church in South Miami with a real emphasis on the father figure of a family. And he has written a book called What is a Man? I've had many copies of that book that I've dispersed to different people to share with their Bible study groups or with youth. So he has a passion for family, fatherhood, and he's just terrific. We had him one year as our guest speaker at the Christmas Proclamation Supper. And it was a miracle that he was there because he was suffering a severe health issue, but yet he was able to make it up for Miami on that Sunday and delivered a terrific speech to the crowd. So we're just blessed to have him on Thursday, May 7th.
Hey, man, that's going to be tremendous. Now, Chris, speaking of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance that you're the executive director of, and incidentally, you do a tremendous job with that. What is the Alliance? What is that all about for our listeners who do not know yet?
The Alliance is really, in some ways, a miracle because we have pastors from different denominations that are on the board that have come together to promote the kingdom of God, not just within the church, but outside to business leaders and civic leaders, because we know that businesses, the heads of businesses have influence on their employees. Civic leaders, whether they're a school board, a city council member, a sheriff, whatever, they have an influence on the people that report to them. So when we can bring the body of Christ together through this alliance, it really helps us to promote the kingdom of God to people that we ordinarily wouldn't be able to reach just within our own church. So the Alliance itself is a board of seven pastors from Martin and St. Lucie County. And we are blessed that those pastors can come together and not discuss any theological issues that might differ from one to the other, but say, what can we do to promote the kingdom of God to our community? And so the whole concept of the Alliance is to bring the body of Christ together, because we are better together. We need to stay united, because the enemy, the liar, does only one thing. He wants to split us, divide us, and cause issues amongst the brethren. And we don't stand for that. You know, we know when God's word says that no weapon against us shall prosper. And when we can come together and put aside maybe some theological differences for the purpose of bringing together the body of Christ, it's powerful. And we have seen a great movement in our community as a result of doing this. There are pastors that maybe wouldn't have spoken to others that now have even developed friendships. Civic leaders and business leaders now have become involved, have better relationship with their pastors and other people within the community. And that's what this is all about.
Well, it is tremendous. Chris, as you know, we've actually had some of our board one of our meetings in particular, I remember where one pastor said, you know, I didn't like you at all before I got to know you, and would have had no interest whatsoever in communicating with you at all. And so many times it seems that is what the enemy would love to have going on in our communities. Either we have extremely shallow relationships or we have no relationship with each other. But truly, the Alliance is a vehicle that God has raised up for this time. Now, there are some other great events that happen during the year. Do you want to mention any of those?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fourth Thursday of September, we have what we call the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer, similar to the National Day of Prayer, but it's really for our community, our local community. And we bring local leaders together to pray over our community. And this year, we also will have the Christmas Proclamation Supper, and it will be our 10th supper. This organization has been together for 10 years this December. But something new on the horizon, something that we have been working to do, and I will be able to share more with you later, is we had a meeting of about 23 people last week, all youth, ranging in age from mid-20s to mid-30s, that are coming together in all their youth ministries to put on something on New Year's Eve that will be a powerful gathering of people from around the Treasure Coast and hopefully from Okeechobee all over. So we're really combining with the youth leaders in the different churches. And I'm excited when I see them come together and pray and worship and say, God, how do you want us to set up this evening? What do you want? So, you know, there's just so much going on with the Alliance. And we've had pastor's breakfast. In fact, we're scheduling more to equip them with things that we learned while we were in Tallahassee, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We met with a number of leaders in Tallahassee. So we just work together to try to equip the churches, the leaders, to be able to minister in their churches with tools that they may never had before. And so it's just a pleasure to be able to work with other pastors, civic leaders, and business leaders, and they're able to see what we're able to accomplish by the power of God.
Well, it's very exciting that some of the vision that was shared early in a lot of our meetings are beginning to, I mean, going back over the years, we've desired to be able to strengthen the bond in the body of Christ between maybe the senior papas, you know, the fathers in the faith along with the sons in the faith, and bring that alliance together to where we can actually provide the platform, come alongside of them, strengthen them, open up the community, open up doors, and see the younger people raised up into the calling that God has on their life. This is going to be a tremendous year. I know that God is on the move. Looking around the world, we can see there's signs of revival. We can in almost every nation. And so, Chris, it's great to have you with us. Would you just lift us up in prayer for a moment, and let's lift up the upcoming. Go ahead.
Before I go up in prayer, let me say this. I want all the people that are listening, again, to put May 7th on their calendar at 6 p.m. at the Mid-Florida Events Center in Port St. Lucie, ample parking, to come together with their families, with their children, with their neighbors, to join us for the National Day of Prayer. This is how our listening community can be a part of the alliance, by taking time out of their schedules and making it a point to be here on May 7th at 6 p.m. at the Mid-Florida Events Center at 6 o'clock. So, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that we live in a country where we're able to worship freely in public. Amen. And proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who died on the cross for us and shed his blood. But, Lord, more importantly, he rose from the dead. He is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he has empowered us by the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to pray and to lift up our nation, to lift up our leaders, to lift up our families, to lift up all those who are hurting, that are going through difficulties, whether it's marriage, whether it's financial, whether it's health. No matter what it is, the Holy Spirit has given us the power to come before the throne of God and to pray. And we just thank you, Lord, in advance for that evening, for allowing people to come there in public and open up, praise you, and to pray before you, and to lift up their intentions, which God already knows, but he wants to hear all the voices of the people who claim him as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. One more time, National Day of Prayer coming up on May the 7th, and this is a family event, and it's in the evening, 6 o'clock. Joaquin Molina will be with us. Malene will be with us as a guest speaker that night, but this is going to be a powerful night of prayer. Put it on your calendar now. It's not too early. May the 7th, 6 p.m., Mid-Florida Event Center, right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. For more information, you can call the radio station, or you can also go to TCC Alliance, and there, I believe that's .com, you can find the information that you would need as well, I believe.
Absolutely, TCCAlliance.com.
There you go. Chris, God bless you. Have an awesome day. Thanks for taking a bite out of your day and joining us here at WCNO. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. God bless all of you.
Thanks so much. We are going to go to a song at this time. When we come back, we have, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but we have South Florida Bible College in our studio. Well, not actually the whole college, but we do have the chaplain and his capable, taller assistant, and we also have a guest along from the college that is, let's see, I actually have it here, so I read it right, Church and Community Engagement Specialist. I don't think this has anything to do with marriage, but we'll find out. We're going to be right back in just a moment.
We worship the God who God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory.
All right, so I didn't say, maybe I stretched that a little bit, saying we have South Florida Bible College with us in this room, but we do have a strong representation, and we're blessed to have the chaplain, his assistant, and also church and community engagement specialist. We're going to be introducing them in just a moment. David, what do we have in the mail?
Well, excuse me. Gosh, one of those days, I'm afraid, comes with breathing. You know?
Don't, fear not.
Anyway.
Fear not.
We do get fan mail from our listeners and our donors.
And with money sometimes, and that enables us to keep eating.
And which we appreciate.
We do appreciate that a lot.
And so I have a few things I want to read. One is, first one is from Becky, and I can't tell you where she's from. She's in the 772 area code, so that much I can tell you. But she is a pet groomer. She has a business, and it's called Groom and Zoom.
Groom and Zoom. A great friend of our ministry.
Oh,
she's actually in this area.
Yep. And she writes, she says, I love, love, love listening to your radio channel while grooming.
While grooming.
Cool. So the pets get a little blessing, too.
So the pets are calm, and she's able to do what she needs to too.
That's right.
That's great. One of the benefits of WCNO is pet grooming.
Amen. It really works well. Of course, our share of the goings-on with my ladies, the Bible study of their church, to talk about WCNO. And that's that goes to Ascent Church on Cove Road in Stewart.
Yep. Pastor Jason.
And literally, God placed my husband and I right next door to the church. Praise the Lord. Big thank you. Keep going, because the need of your work is plentiful, but workers are few, and it's in the vineyard.
Amen.
But
that's Becky. Thank you so much.
Becky. Thank
you
so
much, Becky.
Now, from Spencer, and I don't know where Spencer came from either, but he sent us a pledge. But he says, thanks for blessing me and thousands of others with uplifting Christian content.
Amen.
Thank you, Spencer. From Bill and Deborah and Jupiter, it says, WCNO is a light to us. Keep up the great work. Bill and Deb, thank you, folks, for that.
Thank you.
Peter in Indiantown, WCNO, please add their gift to the current totals for spring prayer and cheer. We love Through the Bible. That's
excellent.
One of our very popular long-running
The Bible Bus. Jay Vernon
McGee. Mm-hmm. Goes to the Bible in 5 years.
That's it.
And I think they started the day after Jesus ascended, so we've been working for a long time. And then we got, let's see who this is from. Oh, Safina. God bless you all. Safina is the mom of our intern.
Hey, we like that.
Oh, we like that. And then lastly from Inez, just God bless everyone.
We'll take
and
that,
we
too.
And we do thank you for that. All the prayers are appreciated.
We will take that as well. So, David, I met you in Tallahassee.
Yes, you did.
Welcome to WCNO. Let's get your mic. We want to make sure everybody can hear you.
Yeah.
So we met in Tallahassee, and immediately my heart was bonded with yours. I'm like, this guy looks like someone maybe he knows about India. And so my wife and I, we love India. We've had dear friends from India over the years. And then I found out you're with South Florida Bible College.
Yes.
Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm blessed to be here. I'm from India. My name is David Bhaktakumar. So my last name is how you know I'm Indian. It's actually my dad's first name. And so my culture, you take your dad's first name and make last name. Is only the Christian culture does that.
Can you say the last name slower, or is it always like that?
No,
Bhaktakumar?
It's Bhaktakumar.
Bhaktakumar.
It's a compound. It's a combination of two words.
Okay.
Bhaktan or Bhakti, like which means devout, and Kumar is short of Kumaran, which means prince. So it just means a devout prince.
I love it.
So that's what my name means, and so I grew up with as pastor's kid in India, and so. I've always wanted to do ministry, and so I went to Bible college, and now I am work at a Bible college. So
awesome. What's a chaplain do at a Bible college? I think, you know, all of them would be chaplains. But
yes, chaplain is just somebody who has a pastoral calling, is just outside of the church. So I'm in short for I'm the campus pastor, I would say.
Okay, good.
So like hospitals have chaplains, sports teams have chaplains, the Army and Navy have chaplain, and so all different, anything that's pastoral outside of the church, you get to spiritually care for people. That's what a chaplain is. So
excellent.
I get to do it at a college when men and women are being formed to serve Christ and His church with biblical thought, and you know, to where the Bible is central. So.
Let's identify the team. So you have a team with you.
Yes.
We have Antoine that's over there, and we have a prophet over here, Elijah.
Yes. Elijah is my assistant, and he's very capable. And
excellent.
And I'm so blessed to have him here and, you know, help me. And he does so much more than just help. And so he brings a lot of things to the table. And it's an honor to pour into him and see what God is going to do through him.
Welcome, Elijah.
Thank you.
He's finishing up his bachelor's in biblical ministry. He wants to be a pastor theologian. So I think he's already kind of got the theologian bit down. So I'm just helping him get the pastor bit down, and then he can be on his way. He loves theological debates, and he loves. He started a whole his whole initiative was to come up with a forum. So we talk about theology deeper from different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
With unity as the point.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds like something the Alliance is into. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah.
So we had women pastors on our previous panel, you know, for permitted, forbidden, or encouraged.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
And then we had the three different perspectives. We had speaking in tongues, different perspectives. And so it was, it's amazing how to see unity come out of these contentious topics.
It's good.
And how we reflect Christ and how we're able to see Christ in each other. Yeah. So that guy's all about theology, and I want to give him a shout out. And then Antoine here is our church and community engagement specialist. He goes around and builds relationships in the community for the college, and also makes sure the community is served by the college. We do some partnerships with different organizations yes. because of his mm-hmm. work. So mm-hmm. I'm going to let him speak.
Yes, definitely. Yes, exactly what David said. Bringing awareness of the school to multiple organizations and churches, Christian organizations, and to the body of Christ. And so we come along the body of Christ to equip, to train, and bring awareness. And also doing that, we sponsor or scholarship rooms and facilities in our facility for these churches or organizations so they can have a place if they want to have an event. Or even our library, we'll resource our library for pastors or ministers so they can come in and, you know, have access to the books and read and grow as well. So those are just some of the other benefits we do that I do and also facilitate in just creating that awareness and partnership and just covenants and agreements.
So you're talking to a lot of people today. We're covering many counties, but South Florida, when I think about South Florida, you know, it's that way. It's south, right? So think of Palm Beach, Lauderdale, Boca, you know. Where is South Florida Bible College? What's the address? I mean, where are you?
2200 Southwest 10th Street, Deerfield Beach.
Deerfield.
Yes.
You're in Deerfield. Yes. How many years? How old is the college?
The college.
What's some of the history?
The college actually celebrated 40 years last year.
40?
Yes.
Wow.
1985, we were started out of Christian Love Fellowship by Pastor Joseph Guadagnino. And Joe Guadagnino started the college, and I think we've been running for 40 years. Around 2013, we got accredited.
Mm.
2016, I think Dr. Mary Drabik, she's our president now, and she took over from Dr. Joe, and we've been going since then, and we have about 800 students on campus and online. We are fully accredited. Our degree is, accredited. There's a work requirement for that. That you have to do some academic work, but it's also a credential degree.
Good.
It is a degree that is going to be valid wherever you go, and the key thing is the Bible is central. In across our programs, the Bible is central, and that's why we are. Our name is literally South Florida Bible College. So, we are interdenominational. We are, I would say, multi-ethnic.
Okay.
And we are intergenerational as well. We have all these three, diversity of skin, diversity of thought. And diversity of theology.
What kind of degrees are available?
Would you like to speak about that?
Yes. Yes, we have a plethora of degrees. So we have, starting from the high school level, we have a dual enrollment program.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yes.
So you're able to take in students that are in high school that are, mm-hmm. so that actually is same as would happen with other maybe state colleges. Or, mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. excellent.
Yeah, so from 14 to 18, they can get their, not just college credit, but their associate's degree with us through our school online and on campus.
Okay,
and excellent. Then in the bachelor associate's degree, we have Christian counseling, psychology, general studies degrees, biblical studies, and ministry leadership degrees. And okay. so even within the ministry leadership degree, you have certain concentrations like pastoral ministry, worship, missions, or family ministry. As well as business degrees. And then you go up to the master's degree, which is divinity, biblical studies, mental health counseling, and then we also have a doctorate in ministry degree.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's tremendous. And are you all students, graduates of the college? Have all of you Were you called in as professors, or how did you? What's your alliance with the college? How did you end up there?
So I am currently finishing up my bachelor. So next month I'll graduate with my bachelor's
excellent
in biblical and theological studies. But Antoine and I, we wear a couple hats. I work as the chaplain's assistant. I also work as a teacher's assistant. So I'm writing papers and grading papers. And Antoine is also finishing up his degree as well.
Yes, and in pastoral ministry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have a theological, your degree again is what?
Biblical and theological studies.
Biblical and theological studies. Yours is in pastoral?
Ministry leadership with a concentration in pastoral ministry.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And so... Chaplain David, how did you end up at the college?
Well, I came there to start my master's.
Long ways from India.
It's a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. I was in New Jersey as a youth pastor, and I started talking to this girl from Florida. And so
trouble.
And things started getting serious, and so I was looking for Bible colleges near where she was at. And so I was at a seminary in Pittsburgh. And so I transferred here for my MDiv. And so I did my MDiv at South Florida Bible College. I also have an engineering background. So I got on board actually as the IT guy. And then I became the IT director. By the time I got my MDiv, the chaplain was on her way out. She was moving. And so they were like, I was all super involved with chapel. I was, you know, grew up pastor's kid. So worship and other like small groups, all this stuff. So by the time I was getting my MDiv, and she's the one who discipled me, she helped me get my CPE unit, which is the clinical pastoral education. Right. And so they offered me the job. I was like, I'll take this over IT any day. I love to do what I'm doing. And I've been blessed at my age to be able to spiritually shape a institution journey. You know, I don't take it lightly. It's sacred. It's and I love what I do.
Awesome.
Yes.
So a pastor's listening today, a board, you know, some church board members are listening, Sunday school teachers, youth pastors are listening. What would you say to them? How important is it for students today to have a biblical foundation?
I was just having this conversation yesterday. And so because I do church and community engagement, I always tell why. It's something I learned in sales. You have to tell your why you do something. Mm-hmm. And so the real reason why I'm at South Florida Bible College is because Dr. Rackley, who was also my mentor and advisor, asked me one question. He says, do you have an education? And so the background to it was I was frustrated. I had started a ministry and it failed. And I didn't really know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I was kind of winging it. And I thought at that moment in my life, being passionate and the ability and the anointing to preach was sufficient for leadership.
Mm.
And as I started the 501c3, the ministry, I was just winging it. And so everything else was kind of just collapsing to some degree. And so I got frustrated and I called this older pastor and he asked me this one question. And so I took a tour of South Florida Bible College. And I am not exaggerating when I said yes to God to that, everything in my life started to realign itself. Mm. And so many times we try to build the roof before we build the foundation. And so being at South Florida Bible College Theological Seminary, and not even just that, ABHE is our accreditor, going to ABHE accreditation and conferences helps me to understand that biblical education is the foundation. Mm-hmm. And so when I started getting that foundation, everything in my life started to align, started to build structure, and God started really blessing me. And all that frustration I had was a result of just having in an environment of education, biblical sound doctrine education, and with a loving family. And it's not just academia, it's spirit-filled, spirit-led, and spirit-love.
So for the young person that's thinking, and I've heard this over the years from so many young people, and sometimes we think, well, the ones who are saying, I don't really have time for that, maybe that would be the young people that are having issues in their life. And that is true, because I've counseled, met with, really had a heavy heart and a broken heart at times for young people that they're in some kind of a judicial correction program. And I talk to them, why don't you submit to a Christian program, get your life straightened out with God, and take this as a time of preparation for your next step rather than just waiting to get back out and repeat what you've already been doing. Oh, I don't have time to do that because, you know, when I get out of here, I know I don't have a problem now. It's under control. But in the church, I've heard from many young people, well, what I'm going to do, I don't believe that's an area of education that's really in the church so much or in a Bible college setting. So I'm looking at secular education. What would you say about that? I mean,
I think that the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show yourself one approved, right? And it's not just a study to show yourself one approved to men, but it's study to show yourself one approved to God, right? And in secular education, many people say, well, you should only get a degree, put in money, you get out money, right? If you're not going to make money from a degree, you shouldn't put money in. Now, Bible college is trying to equip you for your vocation, but it's trying to form you spiritually as well.
That's good.
Right? You get spiritually formed in a church, of course, but at Bible college, you learn about scripture, not only learn about it, learn how to interpret it, learn how to apply it. In 2 Timothy, it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in everything you do, whether in vocational ministry or not, every Christian is a minister. Every Christian is called to ministry. And so they need to know how to rightly divide the need of truth.
And certainly, if we look at the Apostle Paul's life, we find a man who was
very learned,
highly trained.
Yes.
Highly trained. He was definitely equipped to speak to anyone he would face from any background, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a candlestick maker, you know, a carpenter, whatever. Paul could speak to anyone because he was well trained. He understood. He understood where the temple was and where the priest and the ceremonial system was. He understood that. But in coming into relationship with Christ, that completed him. And so, yeah, this is something that on my heart, I'm very passionate about Christian education. And the college president that I sat under, he's now with the Lord, but Dr. S.D. Heron, he said on some occasions, I would hear him say this, and I would think, somebody's going to take this wrong. But he would say, our highest calling is to teach you how to live, not just how to make a living. Many people can train you how to make a buck, but there's a higher calling.
Right.
And I know when God called me into the ministry, along with that call was a call to prepare. And my father's like, son, Jesus is going to come. The Cuban Missile Crisis was going on. People were building bunkers to hide. And Dad's like, there's no way the world's going to last. You're not going to have time to go through college and do that. You've been in Bible school since you were a kid. You're in a Christian family. You've been in church every week multiple times. What can you possibly learn?
Yeah.
And so the disciplines, personal disciplines, spiritual disciplines, the walks with God are so important. How do you integrate that in? It's more than how to make a living. If you know how to live, you're not going to have a problem. God's going to be able to guide you and direct you and the rest. Not that it's secondary.
Yeah. I think he's somebody who grew up in that setting and still sees so much value in Bible college.
That's important.
I'm gonna let him answer that. I just want to add one thing. I feel like we have that sense of urgency again as a society.
Yes, we do.
And young people feel that with that. It's like, why even try? Because
yes,
I don't know if I'll ever be able to own a house with this job.
That's right.
I don't know if I'll be able to. So there's a lot of anxiety and depression. And if you're listening right now, I would like to tell you that there is hope in Christ, first of all, and there is value in training. I know education right now does not have a good reputation, but education is always valuable. Nobody is going to take it away from you, and God is going to use it. Training always yields results. And part of that is able to see hope, to see that perspective of God at work through the training. And I think when you go through the training is when you make good leaders. Like if you're not willing to do what the disciples did, which was go through training, which was stay with Jesus and learn, right? He was the master. They would call him a rabbi because they have to learn, and you can't do, you know, Jesus, even part of the Great Commission is do whatever you've been taught.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't been taught, you cannot go and do that work, you know, and that's very important. So, and I'm going to let Elijah answer that question about if somebody who's been, you know, in Christian environments their whole life, and why do they need to go to Bible college given the immediacy of, it seems like, the global, like, conflicts that we see happening? What would you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, like, when you look in the Bible, the immediacy of Christ's coming was always a concern. They, you know, some were saying, should we even get married, you know?
That's right.
And as for me, my experience with Christian education, I'm just going to tell a little story, is I discerned my calling to ministry when I was very young. And I talked to my senior pastor and I said, what do I do? And he said, well, Elijah, you're very smart, so you need to go to college. So I said, okay, the senior pastor says I have to go to college, started looking around. And he said, when you turn 18, then you can graduate high school, then you can go to college. But I was taking dual enrollment. And so in ninth grade, I was looking around for some meaning. And by that point, I was looking at all my classes and all the possible vocations I could have. You know, if I went into law, then the lawyers would tell me, well, there's no justice in the justice system. You're just there to make money. You know, if I go into health, well, the body is from dust and it's going to dust and the soul doesn't exist. So there's no point. And then business, you know, the money comes, the money goes, and then it goes back into the ground after you die and nothing matters, right? Everything I was being taught everywhere is that there was no real value. And I knew that was wrong. I was raised in a Christian environment. I read the scriptures. I knew that was wrong. I wanted truth, but I didn't want to wait until I turned 18 to get biblical education. I wanted it now. And then we had the dual enrollment program open up. When I was in 10th grade, I went in, I took a Bible class. I said, I never want to have another semester without a Bible class for the rest of my life. This is all I want to know, all I want to learn. And so I graduated when I was 17 in 11th grade. I graduated from high school with an associate's degree in biblical and theological studies, right? I got the worldview that I needed. And if I can tell you about, you know, you were raised in a Christian environment, you think you might know everything. Well, I took hermeneutics, and after I took that class on how to read and interpret the Bible, I went up to my professor and I said, I feel like I don't know anything. I feel like I have to read the entire Bible again. And she was really concerned. She said, wait, are you questioning your faith? I said, no, I'm not questioning my faith, but I know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And so I had this new passion and ferocity to go at the word and go to every single part of it, know all of God's word. And that's an experience that I am so grateful for. It wasn't just a, you know, a calling that I had when I was younger and then it faded out. But through training, you're not just adding skill, but you're adding passion through that training.
The networking, the relationships, the exposure, the opportunities, all of those things that get pulled into a discipleship educational environment where you are around. To me, I felt like I grew up in a puddle. You know, I would be like a very small minnow in a very small puddle, you know, sitting in Israel and looking down on the Sea of Galilee. I love that perspective and thinking this was their world. But the power of God, the gospel, and a prepared person, the entire globe is your world. It is God just changes everything. And to have been in wherever you're coming from, you're listening today, you're thinking, you know, but I want to be a doctor. You know, I want to, whatever, as you said, whatever career you're looking at, establishing a strong, solid foundation for your faith and an ability to fulfill the mission God put you on the planet for. It's much bigger than a natural calling. It is a supernatural calling. So it's huge. It's huge. Now, how can people get a hold of you guys? How do they find you? Are there student days? Can families, pastors get a hold? Who are they going to get a hold of? I've got a kid in my church, got a kid in my my youth group. I've got some families in my church. They're searching for direction. Who do they talk to? How do they get a hold of you?
So you can reach us. They can call us at 954-637-2268. That is directly to the school.
Give it again.
954-637-2268.
Okay, web.
And then the website is www.sfbc.edu.
Woo, that's a lot.
sfbc.edu.
Okay. South Florida Bible College. .edu.
There you go.
SFBC, yes.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. And that,
and then also this Saturday, we're having our annual block party.
Wow.
Yes, 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 yes. And this is our fourth annual block party. So we're going to have over 800 people. We're going to have food, fun, games, raffles. We're raffling off a 55-inch TV. But also we're going to have Blessing Offer, who is a Christian Grammy-nominated Christian artist. And it's this Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m. So they can meet us that way as well.
So right here in the Treasure Coast and just a little south of us, you have an opportunity. I mean, I know we're talking into a lot of counties today, but you have an opportunity to have a high-caliber education right here in the state of Florida. And if you're a high school student, you're within reach, having that dual enrollment is an awesome way to get ahead.
Yeah. I also want to add, we are super connected to the church, right?
That's really important.
We have pastors. Most of our professors are actively pastoring. We are interdenominational. We are evangelical.
Yep.
Like, we don't no compromise on essentials.
Mm-hmm.
But within that essential box, there's so much of room. And we have Presbyterian elders who are teaching at the college. We have Baptist pastors who teach at the college. We have Pentecostal pastors who teach at the college. We have so many different, but we place a high emphasis on active ministry. Like, you are going to be sitting under pastors, people who have been in the field for 20 years, 30 years.
That's a good point.
They're not just academics who have done research. And some of them have done research, but the research they've done is by being on mission in Bolivia for 3 months and seeing how, the fishermen interpret the Bible. Or it's not some, research in terms of, I did some, we're not academia. We are, you are going to be learning ministry and theology and from people who are living it, who are not just talking about it.
Mm-hmm. It's not just tell. There's going to be a lot of show and tell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And that's Elijah. An interdenominational thing, because you would say, well, there's, some Christians do more, some Christians do less. My denomination does more missions. But all of our professors, I could tell you, Presbyterian and Pentecostal, they have been to missions globally. And they teach theology. They teach ministry. They teach with passion. And it's not just purely academia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, for those families that are thinking about what's next for your children, it's not too early to start when you are in first grade. My parents, my mom and dad moved from the other coast of Florida. I'm a native. Moved to Hope Sound because Dad said, I want all of my children to know God better and know more about God so you can communicate more clearly mm-hmm. than I've ever been able to. My dad was a street preacher. He was a farmer in his background mm-hmm. and a painting contractor by trade. But he was in jails every week preaching, street corners every week, passing out tracts, ministering, missions, tents, all over the state, down around the migrants. And Dad said, I want my children to go further with God than I have ever gone. I want to equip them. And so for Dad to pay for 5 kids to go to Christian school, it was a big deal, mm-hmm. a big deal. And frankly, I sort of felt cheated as a kid. There were days when I would like to have had shop. I would like to have learned how to take motors apart. I would like to have learned how to build buildings. I would like to have learned a lot of other things. And I think sometimes in sports and other areas, I think sometimes families will look at that and go, well, I don't want to shortchange my kids. I don't want to keep them away from anything. How does Christian education provide what is needed, even when it seems every opportunity isn't there?
I was going to ask Antoine to speak about our sports program because we have
That's important.
We have SFBC Rams now. We have soccer and volleyball starting up. We have basketball.
Good.
But I think you're seeking to develop the whole person. And sometimes as teenagers, as kids, you know, I wish I was allowed to do a lot of things that I saw my secular friends do growing up in a pastor's household.
And this is a reality.
And it's like, okay, why can't I do that stuff, right? And I think as an adult, you come to an understanding of, you know what, I got things that are of much more value. You know, where Jesus talks about the parable where if you find this treasure, you will sell everything you have and go buy that field. Yeah. I think that perspective shifts. Yeah. And when you're a teenager, when you're a child, it's really hard when peer pressure and you're like, I'm missing out on being cool and having fun. I tell Elijah all the time, I gave up on being cool a long time ago. So it's that some of it comes with maturity and knowing that all these things are good. Like we have a sports program, but we tell all the athletes coming in, you better get that degree because less than 1/3 of 1% of athletes ever make it to the pro leagues. Most of y'all are not going to be able to make a living by playing.
Yeah.
And so it's understanding that perspective. Yes, you could do some cool things and play some games and sports. And I know families go into debt from youth leagues. I was just reading an article. So many families are going into. So I'm not saying that sports is not important or you should pull your kids away from sports. That's a lesser value.
Of course not.
I think there's things that are of greater value, but we do have a sports program, and Antoine, if you can share quickly about it.
Yes, we've had our men's basketball and soccer sport teams since last year, where we officially started around fall. But we've been recruiting since 2024. It was a vision in the heart of my supervisor, Jamil Aganor, for years, and sometimes things take a little while before they get running, and it's been phenomenal. We've been having chapel with them, sacred reflection with them, building their spirit up, letting them know, you know, that is the foundation of what you do is Christ. And so being able to even venture into having a women's volleyball team is bringing a different group team and different demographics into the school and empower them for the gospel in all they do.
Well, it's been awesome having you all with us today, and hopefully we're going to be able to talk a little further and maybe have you back sometime down the road. I wanted to get into the whole area of what you do with media. Do you train people in radio? Do you train people in TV? Is any of that a part of your current degree program?
Not at the moment, but it's a great idea, and we look to foster.
Well, we do it informally. We stream our chapel services, and so we have everything is volunteer-led.
Okay.
We now have a professional AV person, but then even that, they have students helping them, so...
Yeah.
A lot of our operations, we learn, we teach them, but we don't have a formal class on sound engineering, or we would like to have a media center. We're praying on it.
Yep.
Maybe
down the road.
Yes.
An alliance, and this is something, David, we've just started, about 4 or 5 years ago, bringing in some of our listeners to run them through the ropes here, just to give a taste of what can happen?
Yeah, it was about 4 years ago we started our intern program, and we've had one a year, I think, since then, and sort of graduated them. And the first one is now in studying media.
He's now in a Bible college in Colorado, studying media, looking to produce films and such forth, and doing very well.
Yeah, and this is a place God is growing in radio and TV, for sure. Even though we thought he'd managed to build it up pretty well, but he has, but it's even more so now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not because we're prejudiced, but radio is an incredibly viable means of getting the gospel out. Sometimes it beats television, believe it or not.
And we would love to be able to, at some point, maybe have a working relationship with the college, wherein even if it's just a field trip, if it's just to bring in a group from your college. You know, we do this with homeschool kids. We do it with different groups that would want to come in just to introduce to the studio, let them come on air with us and do a program, a live program sort of like this. and find out that it's not so intimidating.